everyone. Welcome to an episode of Wellspring Words, the podcast. Welcome back to another episode if you've been with us before. My name is Kem and I'm your host as always. And I'm here with a very beloved, very, very beloved guest. Her name is Laura and I'll give her some space to introduce herself.
Thank you, Kem. Hi, everyone. It's an honor being here and thank you for having me and for listening to me. So my name is Laura Helen. I'm the owner and founder of Innerseed Abu Dhabi, which is a wellness hub for women that offer empowering services to really allow women to express themselves and to be themselves. I've been living in Abu Dhabi, all my life. This is really home for me. But I am half French and half Lebanese. Yeah, I'm just a wonder in this world.
You totally are a wonder in this world. Absolutely. I need to give people the backstory into how I met you. I've spoken about you. I don't know if I used you by name before, but I've definitely spoken about Innerseed before. And because it's been such an anchor in my own personal spiritual journey. And I just need to enlighten people on how I came to know you and know your work and just be involved in everything that you're doing. Because I want to be able to show others that these kind of things can, you know, you can put yourself in those positions to enlighten yourself and to lift yourself up and to be part of a community that actually, you know, thinks the same way you do and feels the same way you do. So, you know, blank canvas community, right?
Of course.
Yes. Yeah. Very well. So they had like an art session a few years ago when I moved to Abu Dhabi, and there is a woman who I was painting next to. Her name was Iman. And she was telling me about this art and yoga thing with this, you know, wellness hub thing. And I was like, oh, tell me more. This sounds really interesting. It sounds like something I'd be into. So she told me about it, but I was just like, you know, you move to a new city and you don't really get a chance to plug into everything because there's so much coming at you and you're processing so much. Yeah. So, but I kept it in mind. And then I got, I think, an email or something from Blank Canvas, or I went on their Facebook page like a year later. And I saw that you were co-hosting the art and yoga session specifically on the heart chakra. And that's the first session that I attended. It was on my birthday. And yeah, it was held at, I forgot which place, but in Albertine.
House of Nature.
Yes.
House of Nature.
Yes. That beautiful place. And I was just, you know, I went there and I was just really like, what is this? Where am I at? But I was so open to it. And you just had such an open spirit and the whole day, it just felt very, very meaningful at the time because it was, you know, my entry into a new year. I was trying something new. I was opening myself up to what I didn't know was going to be like such a monumental path in my own life.
You're at the right place at the right time.
truly. And, but you know, it could have been like any workshop, any person, but it was you and your workshop. And I think that is really significant because your energy has always just been so welcoming and so loving. And you just radiate this light. It's the true, you know, namaste, right?
Like,
honestly, truly. And you don't feel that with everybody. So I'm happy to have been able to feel that with you. And then from there, it was a lot of women's circle talks, you know, at the studio, and then a lot of workshops. And then the one that's most recent, although this is not the only thing that I've done, the chakra challenge back last October and November, that was like, that really opened my eyes up so much. And I think I spoke about that on either the first episode or the second or whatever. But yeah, it really just helped me to continue to be plugged in and help me know that I was in the right place at the right time during this really profound spiritual.
And help you find your voice as well.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Help me step into that voice. Absolutely. So you've been, and you're doing this for a lot of people. It's not just me. Absolutely. I know others can really attest to all the stuff that you've been doing.
Yeah, I try my best to really impact as many women as I can and try to create different workshops that they can really relate to with what is going on, especially around the world, really finding that time to connect with yourself and not being taken by what is happening outside the world. So having the ability to disconnect from the outside world and entering your inside world ultimately.
Absolutely. You know, I really wanted to have you on this call because you're in the position of facilitator all the time from my perspective. You know, you're always doing the facilitation and holding space for others. And I wanted to try and see what it's like from your perspective and to hear a bit more about your personal story, how you came to where you are now, you know, in terms of your own spiritual journey, your personal journey, and your business journey too, because this is not just a fun project for you. This is your, it seems like your soul work, your business, you know? So can you talk a little bit about your personal journey and how you came to who you are today? Whatever makes sense for you, whatever, this is a huge question. So whatever makes sense.
Well, first of all, it feels nice to be on the other side. Yeah. I gotta tell you. So my journey, I would say inner seed, literally my inner seed started in 2014. And that was a time in my life where I started questioning more of where I was heading. I mean, I was working in the corporate world. I was in the most reputable bank here in Abu Dhabi. I had a great job, great money. You know, everything was good. And I was studying as well my master's, and then I was applying for my PhD, and then I'm like, where am I headed with all of this? What am I doing really? I don't want to be the CEO of, you know, the bank that I was working at. I didn't see myself climbing up this, let's say, imaginary ladder that we're supposed to climb. That's what we were, you know, raised. But you have to, you know, get your education, get your career, become successful, and all of that. It was all based on like education and certifications.
Right.
So I started questioning more of what I wanted to do in my life. I felt like something was missing. I felt like there was so much in me that I wanted to give. And I felt like I was wasting my time at work for some reason. Like I was still trying to balance, like, you know, at work, I was doing good, but I wasn't really giving my 100%. I was still like researching about, you know, how to help people, you know, trying to attend retreats left and right. Like I was always kind of not really giving my 100%. I hope the people that I used to work with are not listening to that.
probably not.
My soul wasn't there, honestly. Like my mind was, you know, somewhere else. My heart was somewhere else. It was just me doing my job and trying to finish and try to figure out more of what I wanted to do. I used to travel a lot as well, and that's what kept me grounded. But then I started asking, like I just said, what do I want to do? What makes me happy? And I started going back a little bit of what I used to enjoy doing when I was young. And I used to, you know, pretend that I was a teacher, having people around me. I used to, you know, love babysitting. So since a young age, I used to love helping people. But then I thought, I don't want to be a psychiatrist. I don't want to be a doctor. This is not what I'm going for. I want to go with something that, you know, it's not really medicine related. It's more like on the spiritual side, really on the simple, basic things. And then as I was traveling the world, the last trip that changed my life was Africa. So it was the best trip of my life. And in that trip, I really learned from the people there what mindfulness really was.
Where did you go, by the way?
Really was. Kenya and Tanzania.
Okay.
I went with an amazing woman. She's someone that used to go to school with me, and she's also very spiritual. And yeah, it was a very, you know, last minute kind of trip. Let's do this, let's do that. We planned it and we went. And you know, from nature there, and from the wildlife and the animals, and I felt for the first time like I was hand in hand with life itself. And it was like so awakening that I'm like, what am I doing in an office from 9 to 5? This is what I want to feel. What I'm feeling right now, right here in this moment, this is what I want to feel. And it was a sensation of like a free fall, like something really indescribable that made me like pushed me to come back and say, that's it. I'm quitting my job and I'll figure out what I want to do. And I quit my job and I've decided, you know, to study kids yoga and life coaching for kids. So it was more kids related because for me, they were like the future and they were hope. So I started doing that. And it was really, really fun. I did a lot of first special needs. I was one of the first in Abu Dhabi to do to develop programs for the special needs at that time, which I'm very, very proud of. Special needs, you know, yoga and activities, because that wasn't really big back then. And yeah, and then the door started opening. I started studying more about yoga. I wanted to learn about the mind, body, and soul, and about this, you know, the human behavior. And that's how I entered with life coaching and therapeutic yoga. Yeah, and then the door started opening, and then word of mouth. And then I realized, yes, I want to focus on women, because more women were approaching me. And I realized they were hungry for more, and they wanted to change. They wanted to express, especially here in Abu Dhabi. Yoga back then wasn't really popular, or spirituality, let's say. It's not really like Dubai. It was still kind of on the, let's say, more low-key. Back then, but Arabic speaking women were relating to me, because I would, you know, speak in Arabic. I would relate to my religion, Islam. So I would, you know, reference things, and I would make it like a holistic approach into how to take care of yourself. Yeah. And then I would say word of mouth, honestly, was the thing that opened the door. And this is how Inner Seed started, first with kids, and now it's kind of for everyone, but in particularly in women.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's beautiful. I feel lucky to know more about your past. But that's the kind of person I am, honestly. Like, I don't feel comfortable going into these kind of very human oriented situations, whether it's work or these workshops and stuff, and not know something about the people who I'm engaging with. So it's really nice to hear about your path and how it started and your zeal. I mean, I get that zeal from you, and I'm sure people listening can feel your passion as you're talking about it. This is a passion that you seem to have all the time when you're facilitating workshops and when you're talking with us. It's not just, you know, it's not just right now. So it's nice to know where that comes from. And I really feel a lot of relatability with a lot of what you're saying about why am I in an office, you know, when you're connected with nature and you just feel like this is life. Like, I want to encapsulate this and feel this all the time. It's a beautiful feeling.
Exactly.
And also it seems that, you know, when you became aligned with who you're meant to be, and then the door started opening for you. I know a lot of people, you know, we have so many desires in life and we want things to happen. And we even have a timeline for how things are supposed to happen. And we're going to try to put ourselves in the right position so that this can happen and that can happen. But some of these things are just not on the material level. You know, they are on the spiritual, the quantum, the energetic level. And when you're in alignment with who you're meant to be and your soul's purpose, then the doors are opening for you, and you can't even explain it, right? Like, you can't use words to explain it. Yeah,
exactly. Absolutely. I feel like when you align your passion with love, really, that's when the doors start opening, because your heart is into it, and you're coming from a pure place of love. And I think that's what's the most important thing, is really having that desire to make an impact, whether it's with one person or a group of people. The fact that you are going there with an open heart and trying to make a difference in any way is just so soul filling and rewarding. And that's what kept me going, like just getting people's feedback. Mm-hmm. Whatever they would tell me, I would feel it 10 times more, you know, just a simple word of appreciation. And from you as well, Kim, when you would send me messages, like, you don't understand, like, how happy these messages or these thoughts would make me feel. I mean, I would tear sometimes, because I'm like, it's just a reminder of, you know, I'm doing the right thing. It feels good to be, you know, in that place. And I feel honored the fact that I was, you know, I had the guts, let's say, to quit my job and just to, it was all worth it. That's right. What I'm trying to get at. It was all worth it. When you really align your passion and your heart, you have nothing to be worried about.
Oh my God. I just, I'm hugging you right now, by the way. Can you feel it?
I feel it. I do.
No, it's such a good one. You are definitely, thank you also for quitting your job and taking that leap, because and this is going to sound so fangirlish, and I hope that people listening don't roll their eyes, but if you do, I hope that you feel what I'm feeling one day. But like, to have someone be able to show you that light, really, and just be that light for you to see and want to embody in a way that's true for you, is just it's like nothing I've ever experienced before, to be honest. You know, that's just, it's so beautiful. But on that note of people not like maybe rolling their eyes or thinking, okay, that's like a little woo woo, that's a little like out of my realm. Why do you think that some people are so apprehensive to start their spiritual journey or to lean into their spirituality?
I feel like maybe because some of them, they feel like they don't have a choice. Others are maybe just more disconnected and are waiting actually for the right moment. And I feel like the right moment is never the right moment. If you're not going to take a conscious decision for yourself, if you're not going to connect with yourself, then you're always going to be someone that is, you know, just following and looking for the outer things rather than focusing on inside. So those people need time. They need time to really understand if they are happy, if they're not, what is happiness. And spending quality time with yourself right now is one of the biggest challenges I think everyone is facing. And there's always like, I don't have time, I don't have time, I don't have time. Some people never have the time and probably never will, but they have to, it has to start from them. They have to have the conscious decision of, I need to make a change in my life. Not necessarily quit my job and, you know, mentioning what I just, you know, just said.
Yeah.
Still, you can have a corporate job and still be happy, but don't forget that this is not the most important thing in your life. You were sent here for a reason. You were chosen here for a reason. And the beautiful thing is that everyone is unique in this world. And if everyone went inside their soul and like were shining their light, then this world will be completely different because we all need each other somehow. We're all connected. But if you're not going to shine that light, then you're just like everybody else, right?
Yeah.
If you do shine that light, then this is how you stand out and this is how you make an impact to the world. So I believe that some people will, you know, find that light and others won't, but it has to come from a conscious decision. There should be an aha moment for everyone to be like, why am I here?
Right.
I want to understand my purpose.
Yeah.
And for those that start with these questions, that's when everything starts. You just need to ask the right question to yourself, and then things will start opening up for you.
Mm-hmm. No, it's right. Asking those right questions, having a quality relationship, or spending quality time with yourself, not just being alone for days on end and, you know, not actually being conscious about that time that you're spending with yourself, and not just asking the same question, the kind of limiting belief questions like, oh, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? What am I doing here? Like, why is my life like this? It is kind of a simplification of what I just said. I'm always so trying to be careful about the way I phrase things, because I know people are really going through a lot sometimes, and it takes a tremendous amount of effort or something to push them to get out of that funk or that valley, and to think about things in a higher, like from a higher plane. And so to think, maybe they might be thinking on a loop, you know, why is my life like this? Why is my life like this? And it's not because they don't want anything better. It's just because they can't think of anything else, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. That's some interesting stuff. I mean, right now I feel like I'm going through a major spiritual awakening, and it's distressing on one end, but it's like on a small part of it, maybe 14% distress. I don't know why I came up with 14, but 14% distressing. And then 86%, I just wanted to show that I could do math. 86% like really exciting, because I know that on the other side of the distress is just more bliss and more understanding and more alignment and more ease and peace and all that stuff. But, you know, I don't know if you experience this too, but at the moment I just feel like just major shifts, and I'm not able to suppress my intuition as I did before. And my ego doesn't have so much of a power over my choices and my thoughts anymore as it used to. It used to be like the thing that was governing, you know, and I would just chalk it up to, oh, I'm a Leo, you know, I have a lot of active energy. I have a fire in my spirit.
Yeah.
These things are true. Fine. But the truth of the matter was I was actually behaving as though I needed to protect something all the time. And I still do. It's like, not like the ego is just there dormant. It's still here. But now I'm just trying to see it as a mechanism of showing me what are the things that I feel that I need to protect. and leaning yeah. more into that rather than allowing it to do the being defensive for me or trying to one-up somebody yeah. or be the superior person so they have to be inferior. And then along with that, other things are just kind of falling, like my some relationships are ending and I don't feel like I have a choice, like I have to end it because I know intuitively, spiritually, that I'm moving to a different energetic level and I can't be in this kind of, you know, this old life, let's say, if I want to be truly aligned yeah. with myself. Did you experience something like that or how was it for you?
Yeah, I mean, the ego played a major role in my life. I would say I'd hope I did change, but the ego did make me a very stubborn person. A couple of years ago, I was very, very stubborn. More of like, I wouldn't control my emotions, that I would just react quite fast. And that was because of the ego. The ego wanted me to be the certain person and not allowing people to step, you know, on me. And, you know, I'm always right. And speaking of signs, I'm an Aquarius. So yeah, stubborn and always wanting to be right. So yeah, the ego really made me a very tough person, let's say. Like I would speak my mind without really, you know, considering what other people would think, I would feel, because I wanted to say what I, you know, what was on my mind. And as I was going more into the spiritual, you know, world and connecting with myself and learning how to control my emotional reactions and really becoming aware that there is an ego and then there's that inner voice, I learned to differentiate between them. It made me a much more calmer person, and it was easier to put myself in someone else's shoes.
Right.
I was able to look at it from a different perspective. Before, it's either my way or the highway. Like I was literally like that. And now I have the ability, well, I try at least to always try to look at things from a different perspective, try to understand more where this person is coming from and having, you know, a middle ground. But the ego is always there, right? The ego is always there trying to tell me, okay, you should do more, you should do more, you should do more. Like right now in my present life with Inner Seed or with my life, like I should do more, I should do more. It's always pushing me. But I've learned to, you know, acknowledge that and be like, okay, you know what? I don't need to do more. There is plenty of time. I don't need to push myself. And yeah, so I have more of a, you know, self-talk between myself, but I do notice sometimes when my ego is like, no, you're not, it's not good enough, or you should have done this differently, or which sometimes can take over, right? We can't just, or we don't have the ability to, you know, win with the ego.
Yeah,
sometimes
switching on and off, yeah. Over.
Exactly, and, but what's important is to be aware, really having your awareness and acknowledging that this is the ego, this is not your soul telling you that you're not good enough.
Right.
And I've learned to differentiate them, because the inner voice is always the most peaceful one, the calm one, the one that's, you know, talking with, you know, it's more of a two-way communication, whereas with the ego, it's like, no, this is what you are. And it's usually negative, right? You can immediately feel like when it's not really responding well, and it's just telling you like things that you don't really want to hear, that's the ego coming out. And but yeah, sometimes the ego is quite strong, so it is challenging. But being aware and noticing the difference between the inner voice and the ego has helped me a lot in becoming the person that I am today. If I was continuing following the ego, I wouldn't be where I am today. Mm. I wouldn't have as many partners or amazing people at Inner Seed, because the ego would have taken me to a very different path, to be honest.
Yeah. Probably, you know, it wouldn't allow you to be so open to people and so welcoming to people. I bet. Cause you meet so many different kinds of people and so vulnerable. Right. Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's so funny when you mentioned that differentiating between the ego and the inner voice is like the inner voice is the one that's calmer, that I also find that too, because I think you mentioned that in a workshop that I joined, and I was at the time looking for, how do I know which is my ego, which is like, what is fear and what's my intuition? I think I had that dichotomy, fear and intuition, ego versus inner voice. It's for me, it's like kind of the same, the way that I see them. And then after you mentioned that, I noticed that the inner voice would always, like, it would urge me. It would just gently urge me, you know, there's no pushing. There's no, I don't ever feel like I'm a high alert. Like my ego, whenever my ego is at play, it's like, zoop, you know, like I'm on high alert. and I have to do something, or I have to take action, or I have to be defensive, or, you know, like that immediate reaction. Yeah. But the inner voice is something that's more soft. It's very, it's like the feminine, like what I would attribute feminine energy to, like softer, until it gets to a point where I have not listened to, I've neglected it for long enough, and then I have to take action immediately, and I can't not.
Right.
And that can happen for years. I've just found like that can last for years. I could be just neglecting these things for years and just piling worldly things on top of them. And then all of a sudden, like everything kind of crumbles because I didn't listen to it. But that's still not the ego, because it's still at the end of the day, a better decision for me than the ego would have been.
Absolutely.
Very, very interesting stuff. I mean, it's really layered and deep, but I feel like people can really resonate with it because we all have that capacity in us, right? Like to be challenged by the ego, but also we have the capacity to be aware of it and to just take note of it, as you mentioned.
Exactly. And the more you meditate, honestly, the more you're able to hear your inner voice much louder when needed.
Yeah.
So spending quality time with yourself and meditating, you know, just manifesting, asking yourself a question, going inside, or even before you're sleeping, setting an intention, giving your life a purpose as well for your day, allows you to have that intention to connect with your inner voice. So your inner voice has this job of, yes, I am needed. Yes, I'm heard. Mm-hmm. So the more you interact and the more you make that voice, the more you allow that voice to be heard, then it's easier for you to immediately connect with the inner voice and to kind of, you know, close the mouth of the ego.
No, truly. Yeah, no, it's a good way of putting it. It's like just beckoning for the inner voice to talk to you, and for like your soul to speak to you in different ways around this world. And then once you do ask those questions, you get the answers that you're looking for, or you get the answers, maybe not the ones that you're looking for, but like you get the answers anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I wonder if there's, I want to hear your take on it. With this idea that, you know, we have to keep doing, going all the time. It's more of this like masculine energy, the yang energy, right. You know, where we're just never really feeling like we could take a break, but then when we crash, we just crash at some point, but that's not taking an intentional break and really being kind to ourselves and being in that space to meditate and listen, which is more of the yin, more of the feminine. So have you like experienced that? And also because you work with women. So I'm just wondering, I'm really thinking, and obviously not for you to betray any confidentiality, but just because you have that space to see so many different types of women and so many different spaces of their life and everything, what have you noticed in terms of masculine and feminine energy?
So we do have the yin and yang energy within us. We do have that, you know, powerful energetic energy, and we also have the feminine energy within us, not just us males as well. They do have that feminine energy in them. But what I've noticed is that a lot of women are coming to me with so much yang.
Yeah.
So much energy that, you know, they want to be powerful. They want to prove to the world. They want to prove to their spouse or to their family or to, you know, their peers. There's so much proving. I feel like there's so much of this energy in a good and in a bad way, like so much motivation, so much ideas, so much, so many goals, so many things planned for them. Mm-hmm. However, they're not realizing that they are also neglecting their feminine side, that lunar passive energy that they have within them. They are kind of, not everyone, I'm saying them, what I've seen a lot lately is that they're kind of putting that feminine energy a little bit, you know, just letting it be quiet so that the masculine energy can come out. And that takes a toll on them. They come, like they're stressed, they, you know, they're tired, they're at the end as well, they crash, like you said, so low energy, and then they start looking for this feminine energy to relax more. But like I said, if you start ignoring your resources, then they're not going to work right away. They're also going to take time to come back. Same thing with the inner voice. If we do not spend quality time with ourselves enough, if you don't meditate enough, then it's going to be hard for you to listen to that inner voice. I mean, there's going to be a voice, but it's going to take time to hear it because the ego is going to be so loud. So same thing here. If we don't use our, if we don't balance our feminine energy, masculine energy, there's always going to be one that takes over. Right. However, if one takes, you know, takes over in a long period of time, that's really hard to come back to. So this is why it's important to balance our life. If you're someone that's very active and likes to work out, like, you know, quite, you know, powerful, let's say, or activities, then it's important for you to do restorative activities on the side, such as yin yoga or yoga nidra, meditation, of course, to kind of restore everything down. So it's all about balances, really. And you need to be aware. You need to ask yourself, am I more on the fast-paced kind of lifestyle, or I'm more like chilled bath, life is good? If you are in that side, it's also important for you to do something a little bit more active and getting out of your comfort zone as well. So I would say the key is to balance. See where you're at right now in your life. If you're feeling like you're running, if you're feeling like you're always on the go, you always want to get things done, and it's hard for you to take a step back, then that's what you actually need. You need to take a step back.
Yeah, because at some point you just, like, as you said before, you crash, right? Like, I've definitely been a person that has been a lot of yang. Like, it's kind of difficult because when I'm really passionate about something or interested in something, you can't turn off the yang energy for me. It's just on completely, and I will lose sleep without a care. But if I'm not, if I'm just in a general state normally, don't talk to me after 8:30 p.m. because I'll probably be in bed. It's a completely different story. So I think there, for me, I find there's also different periods in life where those things really work out well. And then other periods, of course, where you have to kind of just center yourself, go inward, and just listen. Honestly, this COVID pandemic is one such period, right? Where people just kind of had to sit down and just be without having to do or be something, which is hard to grasp, I think, for many of us. It's hard to grasp that, like, what does it mean to just be without having to do something? What is my value? What is my worth?
Yeah. And I think, I mean, the pandemic in its own way brought many, many positive things in terms of allowing us to spend more quality time with ourselves, with our loved ones. And you were kind of stuck somehow with your own, demons, and you kind of had to face them as well. And a lot of people learned so much more about themselves and realized how much they were doing and how good it was to kind of just take a step back and realizing what is really important in this life. And I think everyone, or I'm hoping a lot of people, realize that health is the most important thing. Without health, you can't do whatever it is that you were doing. So taking care of it is crucial, and taking care of it is taking some time off for yourself and taking care of your well-being and of your mental health, your emotional health. And it's an overall structure, let's say, that you need to follow, not just on the weekends, not just on vacation, once a week when you're going to the gym, but every single day. You need to reboot yourself. You need to recharge yourself. And I think that's one of the biggest things. I feel like, the pandemic was able to kind of, spread, let's say, other than the virus itself, but spread the message that this is what the world needed.
Spread, I get it. No, you're so right about that. Speaking of health, though, can you share a little bit about your own journey with being diagnosed with cancer, and I don't know the right word to use. I'm always like being political about things, like surviving. I don't know. Is it the right word to use there, or how does that go? Like battling cancer and your spiritual journey through that, and how that may have helped you. And can you just?
The word battling is something that I don't like to use, and I'll explain to you why. So first of all, I got diagnosed in 2019. It was a great time. I was just got married and came back from the honeymoon, and then I went on to Lebanon for my best friend's wedding as well, and it kind of all started from there. I'm not gonna go into too much details, but I just feel a lump, and I realized something wasn't right immediately. Like, I kind of knew, but I didn't want to say it out loud. And then when I actually heard that, I was in complete, I wouldn't say shock, but like, it's like you knew, but you had a slap in the face at the same time. It's a bit weird to describe. But I wasn't scared. I was more worried about my loved ones. How are they gonna deal with it? Especially my parents, seeing their well, I'm not going to say I'm a kid now, but still, I'm always going to be a kid to them. So I didn't want to, I didn't want them to see me with all of that experience, let's say, and my husband. And yeah, I was more worried about that. For me internally, I was like, I can do this, I can handle it. And I wasn't worried because I felt like that is going to be a huge, huge journey that I never thought I would have to take. But there's something for me in it. So I was kind of excited, I would say. I don't want to say like, maybe excited is a little bit too enthusiastic, but I was like excited to see why this happened to me, you know, in a sense of really going inside in a way that I've never gone before, because you never expect that, right? You would hear, you know, people, you know, having one, so and so. But when it comes to you, like, it never crosses your mind because you're healthy and, you know, you take care of yourself and, you know, all of that. So you would never think that. But the fact that it happened to me, it really taught me that anything can happen to anyone, and we should be ready for it. And like I said, so I wasn't really ready, but I was kind of wanted to know how this experience was going to be and learn from it. So it was the most challenging experience I had gone through, but I was, the thing that really helped me was love. It is the thing that healed me, actually. And, as soon as I found out, I was transparent with my clients, you being there as well. I did mention this to the people that I was working with and to all the ladies that, you know, see me every week or every day, that this is what's happening to me. I want to be transparent. I want to share what I'm going through. I've always been there listening to you, and now I need you to listen to me, kind of thing. And I want to be vulnerable. There's going to be times where I'm not going to be myself. And honestly, going to these classes is what kept me going. I don't think I've ever missed a class except one, really. I think one, if I'm not mistaken, I would say two, but I've never missed a class. And I wanted to go and be there and continue doing what I'm doing, because the people around, the love that I received, the messages, the care was so, so beautiful that that's what really, really healed me. Like the love that I had from, of course, my husband, my parents always being there. And I think that is a blessing. People that go through chemotherapy by themselves is, for me, something, you know, out of the world. Like I don't even know how they could do that. It's almost impossible. It's something that is very scary in its own way, very painful emotionally and physically. But what kept me going is the love, the really love that I've received from people around me and from my loved one. It really kept me going and just gave me that sense of, you know, motivation to not give up. So this is why I wanted to go to classes. I was sharing with everyone what I was going through that day. I was still going on with my classes, and the feedback that I received will just, you know, kind of make me forget a little bit about the pain. And then I would go back home just feeling a little bit better than when I went to class. So so this journey was a chapter that I will never forget. I will forever be grateful, because it taught me that anything can happen in life, and that health is really the most important thing. Like, just being grateful that you are not feeling pain is something that I thank God every single day right now, because I didn't know about that until I went through it. Like, just simple pain is something that I was hoping when I was feeling this tremendous pain. I just want to have something small, you know. I want to go back to that small boo-boo I had in my, you know, foot before. That
was paper cut. Handle, but
just, you know, yeah, paper cut. I still complain about that. But now, when I was doing this treatment, I was, you know, going back to like, I wish I had a paper cut kind of pain, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So you really, really look at your body differently, and yeah, it's really eye-opening to how much your body can handle and how grateful you should be every single day for what your body does. Yeah, and it was, I would say it was made with love. This experience was made with love. And even the doctor at the end did say, use those words, that I healed beautifully. So, and that wouldn't have happened if I did not feel or being surrounded by love. And of course, internal love from myself, because I had to go in there and also, you know, use my internal love,
your internal love compass. Oh yeah, this is really wonderful to hear. I mean, you're just a gem, honestly. You're just there. I know you're probably just like, it's sometimes maybe hard to hear something like that. Like, what do I say to someone who, to that kind of thing? But it's true. This world is full of all types of people going through all types of things, and that don't manifest in ways that are as loving and kind, as open as the way that your things manifest in you. And it's really beautiful to witness, you know, as someone who's on the outside looking, you know, at you or attending your workshops and things, and hearing also this strange sense of excitement at your journey with cancer and being kind of baffled because it's against the grain of what the norm actually says and things, and what the media perpetuates, the fear of sickness and, you know, all these types of things. So fresh perspective.
Yeah. And going back to the world battle.
Yeah, please.
I didn't battle cancer. I went through with cancer. Like, I was going through the journey of what cancer wanted me to go through. So I wasn't fighting it. I wanted to understand it. I wanted to be friends with it in a sense where, okay, you're here. Let me know why. Let's find a way to deal with things. I don't want to hate you. I don't want to despise you. You came into my life for a reason. Let's do this. You're trying to teach me something. And I'm not going to lie, there were times where I was very low and hating everything about it. Mm-hmm. But I try to look at it again from internal love. And that's what I'm telling you, where the love around me is what reminded me of, you know, there's hope. You need to remember why you're here. You need to remember all the great things that you can do. So there was this love surrounding me to remind me of all the things that I needed to hear at that time.
That is really beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I hope that for those listening, you're able to get a different perspective and a more intimate perspective on cancer, on sickness, on the importance of health, you know, these things, some things we just take for granted every single day. You know, I'm just thinking about my own way of looking at my body and my own health that has changed tremendously just in the past few months, like in a flip of a switch, really. Like, it just feels like one day I was mistreating my body and, you know, complaining about it and comparing it. And and then the next day I was like, oh, but you do so much for me. I love you so much. And then I just can't look back now. Yeah. I can't even imagine pinpointing something at my body and just thinking about how much, as you said, the body can actually handle and go through and still be there to support you and house you. Yeah. It's a beautiful thing. As we sort of wrap up, I want to know, is there anything new that you've learned about yourself lately?
I would say that I am strong. I never really said I'm strong. I felt like I wasn't really comfortable saying I'm strong. But lately, I really felt my strengths, and that I am ready to receive whatever life has to throw at me with an open arms, with open arms and an open mind and an open heart. I don't have the, you know, I think there was more limitation of this will never happen to me, or this, you know, like you'd hear stories left and right. But now I'm like, this can happen to me. Right. Anything can happen to me. And I am strong enough to handle it. I can handle it. If it's, you know, if it's thrown at me, I need to take it with an open arm. And I think this whole thing started with cancer. This is what opened my eyes to anything can happen to you, and you need to be prepared. Don't take life for granted. Don't take all the great things for granted. Don't take your health for granted. Just be prepared. There's nothing that you cannot handle. I think this experience really taught me that I am strong, and I'm proud to say that my body is strong, and that strength really starts from within.
Oh, look at you. You are, this woman. And you know, maybe this is because you talk to people all the time, and you're always preparing, you know, these statements and these workshops and these speeches, but like, that was strong itself. The delivery was strong. You gotta love it. I love a strong delivery. As someone who loves TED Talks, that felt like a really, you know, like the end of a really strong TED Talk. That was beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. If you're interested, where would you like for people to find you on the interwebs?
Follow us on Instagram. at Inner Seed. So it's InnerSeed, or InnerSeedUE.com. There's everything there. We have the She Club launching on March 16th. And it's something that we're going to, you know, try to do once or twice a month. And this is going to be a safe space for women to come on and really talk about anything that is going on with their life. So there's no judgment. So it could be from sexual abuse to infidelity to miscarriage to disease to really speaking your mind and being heard, and yeah, and getting advice from like-minded women. So it's a non-judgmental space where you can really speak your mind. So this is, we're trying to encourage women to come on in and find a space where there's no shame, there's no embarrassment, there's no judging. Yeah, and I'm hoping this is going to open the doors to a lot of healing. Some people or some women are not able to, let's say, come to classes or express, you know, in front of a lot of people what they're going through. But maybe behind their screen, you know, anonymously just speaking or just listening, that is the step to healing, just by being there or being heard. For me, this is what I'm trying to, you know, offer, just a little bit of release.
Right. Nice. Beautiful. Perfect. And I will be linking those details in the show notes. And I can also attest to, as you guys know, that I'm already an InnerSeed fan person. So I support everything that you're doing. You're doing amazing work. Keep it up.
Thank you, my love.
You're a blessing to this world.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being on this episode. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And thank you to everybody for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And, you know, if you have any thoughts that you want to share with us, feel free to do that in a review on Apple Podcasts or Google or wherever you're listening. Share with a friend. Reach out to us on Instagram at Wellspring Words. You can also check out our website, wellspringwords.love, or email us, bewell@wellspringwords.love. You know, just all the things. Catch you next time. Goodbye.